Well, Mike, and that leads me to a question that's always intrigued me about how you go about recruiting these dogs, because I know that you take trips over to Europe, and that's typically where you originally acquire the dogs that you end up training for these roles. What is it about the European breeders that makes a difference versus necessarily how we do things here in North America?
Now, and that's one of the number one questions I get asked when I go do a presentation somewhere is, why do you have to go all the way over to Europe to get a good dog? Don't we have good dogs here? And we definitely do. But on the first show, we talked about socializing and how important that is, regardless of what the dog's going to do later in life, whether it's just going to be the family pet or whether it's going to end up going into some type of service work. And the one thing that I know in Europe is the breeders I'm dealing with directly in Eastern Europe. I traveled to Poland and Slovakia and the Czech Republic to select my dogs. And the breeders I'm dealing with are very conscientious about what they breed. And there are a lot of good breeders here in the U.S. and all breeds of dogs that put the same amount of time in. You know, I want to make sure we're clear on that. But overall, in Europe, before two dogs are bred, in a lot of the countries like Germany, for example, or Holland, before you're allowed to breed your dog with another dog, there's a requirement that the government's put in place that genetically the dog has to be sound as far as its hips and its elbows and its spine, the things that we deal with a lot in service dogs that go bad genetically later in their career. And the temperament is all tested. So if your male has met the requirements and my female has met the requirements, we can breed. If they don't, then you're not supposed to breed them. So genetically, they're very sound. The working lines as opposed to show lines is very significant, because I need good, strong work ethic in my dogs. I want a good looking dog. I mean, everybody loves aesthetics when it comes to their dog. But I also need the work ethic, more importantly, obviously, than the way they look. So when we go to Europe, these breeders have put in that time looking at the different drives of the male and the female they breed, the genetics, so that when I get there and I'm buying these dogs anywhere from 14 to 16 months of age, they've been really well socialized. Genetically, they're sound. And in Europe, there's a different kind of culture when it comes to dogs. Here in the U.S., we play golf. We have bowling leagues. We have jet skis. We go to our cottages. And in Europe, a lot of communities have dog training clubs. And they compete in different types of competitions with their dogs against maybe the neighboring city. And then the winner of that goes to a regional, and two regions compete against each other. There's a lot of pride in that over there. So a lot of foundation work has gone into these dogs from the time they're about 12 or 14 weeks old until they become about 14 months old. So a lot of that foundation has been done for me, and whether it's obedience or playing tug of war with a rag or the tug toy, so that they're prepped for the bite work, the apprehension work that we do in law enforcement and so on.
And Mike, you were mentioning a little bit earlier before we got on the show that maybe just the overall culture of where dogs are allowed and where they're able to go changes a whole perception of the dog's world.
Environmentally, I don't have time to deal with a dog that you try to get him on a school bus or put him on a train or walk down a busy street where there's a lot of truck traffic and loud noises. I don't have time to try to overcome that. In Europe, you'll see dogs on the train. You'll see dogs in restaurants. You'll see them on the bus in the shopping malls. So that by the time I get them at 14 to 16 months of age, environmentally and socially, they're so confident and sound, they walk in any place they go and they act like they've been there 1,000 times or it's their house and they don't care. They just come in, woohoo, where are we at? As opposed to, oh my God, I come through the door, what is this place I'm in? We don't have time to overcome that. We want a dog that when you come to a new environment to put the dog to work, they walk in the door and they're very confident and comfortable being there no matter where they are, what's around them or who's around them. They're ready to do their job.
Now, you've been going to Europe for how long, and Eastern Europe?
I started actually in Holland and Germany, and the Dutch and the Germans have kind of gotten this view of what their dogs are worth. And they're putting so many out that it's getting tougher and tougher to find healthy, good quality driven dogs because the demand. So, you know, when the wall went down and Eastern Europe opened up for us, it opened up a whole new group of breeders and training clubs and philosophies and styles. And I found myself very comfortable in Eastern Europe. I go to the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Poland typically to buy my dogs. So when the guys get them from the police departments here in the U.S., like Bill's first dog was from the Czech Republic, and now the dog he's got now is Polish. So he went from the Czech language to a Polish language. So he's getting a little bicultural, bilingual here with trilingual, actually, with his dogs.
So you end up importing some of the language skills that these dogs have learned as kind of a training procedure?
Well, you know, the dog has been conditioned, you know, stimulus, response, reward. We talked about that on our first show. So if the dog has been conditioned when it hears the word shad, which is Polish for sit. So when the dog hears shad, it knows to sit, or a Czech dog is sedni. So if the dog from a very young age has been conditioned with that stimulus, we want to kind of keep it. You can transition them to English. It's not that difficult. But it's a little bit quicker and a little more fair to the dog if we just stick with what he's been taught since he was a puppy on up to young adulthood.
And how are you received in that culture?
It's kind of nice going to Eastern Europe. They still love us. when I get into to Poland and the Czech Republic and Slovakia, they're, you know, when I first started going over, they were very curious about Americans. They had a lot of questions. And now because they become part of the European Union and all the borders are open, you know, it's a little less curiosity. But they're really warm and friendly people. I love the Polish people. Actually, the gentleman I've been buying dogs from for almost 6 years now, I went over last April specifically just to go to his wedding. And developed some great friendships over there. Wonderful people.
Awesome.
Interesting. And Bill, let me ask you this question, working with these, because what I'm curious about is that you're with your second dog, which implies that your first one has retired. Most people might not think about it, but police dogs are just like human beings in that they have a career. It only lasts X number of years, and then they shift into retirement. Tell me what it's like in terms of that transition. How does the dog transition over to retirement?
It's like you said, they're dogs. The retirement, it was pretty hard for the dog at first. You know, he's still wanting to go to work. He's slowing down. You can't take him to work.
Right.
But it's something that he gets used to. The big thing was, I think, letting other people pet him and stuff like that, him just becoming a dog. You know, with the patrol dogs, we allow kids to pet them. We don't necessarily let everybody pet them. But after they're retired, that's not an issue anymore. And I just think that him being around more people and being able to go more places and, you know, be more of a dog all the time than just, you know, being a dog at home.
Interesting. We're talking today with Sergeant Bill Burgoyne from the White Pigeon Police Department, as well as Mike Morgan, the master trainer from the International Police Work Dog Association at Mid-Michigan Kennels. Rick, after the break, we're going to continue this conversation where we're going to ask some very interesting questions about the transition from when Mike brings the dog back from Central Europe until the dog actually reaches the point where he's ready to go out on patrol with Bill. And we'll get to that right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
He's the hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair.